Good morning. Good morning.
Can you get on the stage, please? Thank you.
All right. You guys ready to worship?
Yes.
Yeah? Cool. So today's a great day because we're here. We're here with you guys. Jesus is alive. All of us woke up breathing oxygen. Amen. Jesus is in a encountering mood. Jesus wants to meet us right where we're at, and I'm just gonna pray that today, that as we enter into worship today, as we enter into His presence today, because how many guys know His presence wasn't waiting for us to show up? His presence wasn't. It isn't dependent on us whether He shows up or not. And so, God, we just thank You that that You're here, that You've been here. Jesus, we thank You that before the doors got unlocked today, before we had our set established today, before the sermon was prepared today, that Your presence was already established in this place, and it continues to be established in this place. It continues to be established in our hearts. And God, I just pray, Lord, for an encounter today, God. I pray, Lord, for an encounter with Your love, Lord, encounter with your goodness and Your mercy. So why don't we stand today? And as we worship today, my hope is that each and every one of us would get a touch from the Lord, that each and every one of us would walk out of this place closer to God, closer to our loving Father. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you've been through this week, no matter where your mind is today, that we would walk out of this place knowing that our Father desires to be close to us. So we worship You today, God. And I just pray for every heart in this place, every person that watches this live or watches this later at another time or listens to this at another time, that they would be encountered by Your love. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, let's worship, you guys.
Shake and crumble. sorrow that heaven can't heal. There's no sorrow that heaven can't
Come on, church. Let's sing this over our lives today. Come on, we praise you today, Jesus. This is how we win. Yeah. Praise is our greatest weapon. Praise is our greatest weapon. In the face of giants, in the face of mountains, praise is our greatest weapon. The thing is, church, that there isn't a battle because it's already won. Even though we may feel like we're facing battles, even though we may feel like we're in a battle, the battle's already won. When Jesus said, "It is finished," that's our starting point. When Jesus said it is done, that's where we then begin. So when we face sickness, or when we face struggles, or when we face strife, we're starting actually from a place of it being already finished, already won. give it to you, Lord. Give it to you, Lord. Just lift up our city today, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless the city of Yakima. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, every square foot, Lord, every piece of land, God, the lower valley, the upper valley, Lord, Natchez, all the way to Mapton, God. I just release, Lord, a blessing of who you are, Lord, into our valley. God, that our valley would be saved, our valley would experience revival, Lord. That the testimonies that would come out of this place wouldn't be testimonies of violence, testimonies of drugs, testimonies of gangs, Lord, but it would be testimonies of you, how people are encountering you, how sons and daughters are coming out of this place, how sons and daughters are being lifted up to a better place, God. God, I lift up our government. I lift up our government here in our state. I lift up our government in our nation, God. And I just pray, Lord, for heavenly strategy to be put on the hearts of those, Lord, who get to make decisions, Lord. God, we thank you that America will be saved. We thank you that America will walk in, Lord, walk in the steps of you, Jesus. Lord, that their eyes would not be deterred, Lord, from anything, Lord, but you, God, that they would be focused solely on you, Jesus. Yeah, we thank you so much for this, God. We thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. Yeah. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I want you guys to say this with me or say this after me. I love Yakima. There's something significant that happens when we begin to change the way we talk about our city, and I promise you that if you don't love Yakima and you just every day wake up saying I love Yakima, your heart will begin to change, because our words are powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Wow. What a great worship service. Thank you, ladies. Worship ladies. Is this mic good, Pastor? Can I switch to the wireless? Okay.
Check.
Okay. So, Nancy, you could join me. We have a couple things going on between the Sundays, and we're going to chat about that. Our first one is, do we have that, Skyly? Our youth night. Youth nights are my favorite nights. Even if I don't feel like, man, I just worked all day. Do I really want to hang out with a bunch of smelly teenagers? The answer is yes. because I always leave so fulfilled. And something exciting that's happening with our youth nights is we are moving from our residence out in West Valley into the church building. Hallelujah. So not tomorrow, but the following Monday, we'll begin meeting downstairs. And we have a lot of dreams for what our youth space is going to be. And we want to create a space, that is appealing to our youth, but we also want to create a space that, that brings in the more. So kids will want to be here to hang out with us. And so, we've already started hanging some lights down there, and we have a lot of different ideas.
Yeah, we do.
I've spent some money and I'm excited about stuff that's coming. I don't care if the kids like it. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to use it. And so, no, I do care, but
I swear he does youth so that he can still be a kid.
Yeah.
Like
maybe
he gets to be enjoy all the good. Yeah. Would you agree?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. we've been having some powerful, powerful nights. So I'll say this, church, even though you don't yourself have a youth, directly in your life, if you think about youth, if a youth pops in your mind, or you just think about the generation, a young generation, I would encourage you just to take a second and just pray for our young people, because powerful things are happening in youth ministries all over our city. I meet with youth pastors every week and stuff's happening. And so this generation isn't lost. They're not just, you know, they're some of them are confused, very much so, like every generation has been, but stuff's happening in our youth ministry and youth ministries all over the city. So just lift up our youth in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Next thing, what do we have? Every Tuesday, our women have a Zoom meeting. Pastor Gaylene so graciously graces the women with her presence on a screen and brings a powerful word. I'm sure it's powerful because she's a powerful woman. And so if you have not joined, or if you know a lady, this isn't inclusive or exclusive to our church. So if you know a lady that maybe she goes to another church, or she doesn't have a church, or she just needs somebody to be plugged in somewhere, this is for her. This is for everybody. So the number is right there. You can share that. And every Tuesday at 7, they meet. And then the men, every Wednesday, the men meet with Pastor Mike. And what I love about this is Pastor Mike, he just like sits in his bed, laid back, like, and he just, you know, but he brings a powerful word. Amen. And so again, the same goes for that. All men are invited to that. And that's not just exclusive to our church. And so anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's good.
Okay, great. Next. Thank you for giving. Yes, if you give to our church, we say thank you. And we make it really easy. And at this church, we don't take an offering, but we are here to receive an offering. And so we don't make a special place for it. Like, we don't say, hey, pass the baskets or anything like that. Nothing wrong with that. But a long time ago, we decided that we wanted to make it a form of worship, because that's ultimately what it is. And so anytime you want to give, you can give here in this box here. And there's one out there as well, or you can give online, and that's super easy, and that's what I do. And why are you laughing, smiling at me?
Because easy. I said easy is subjective. I don't find it easy.
It's literally two buttons. Here's my money, take it. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyways, yep, thank you for giving. Is that it? Is that all the slides we have? Yeah. I did want to mention something. Did you have something, Gaylene?
I do. Okay, go. Sorry, I did want to interrupt long enough to say, turn around and wave to Pastor Mike. He's up there.
Hi.
And the reason he's up there is because our Jesse is not. Jesse is home battling COVID. And because he is high risk, he has had special treatments done, and so we want to pray for Jesse. He is so faithful, coming every Sunday, getting the sound together, getting all of the wires laid out, getting it set for worship, staying later than anybody else, putting things away, and he needs our prayers. All of us love him. He's special to every single one of us, but right now he needs us. And so we're going to pray for Jesse, but we're also going to pray for a couple that the husband is in ICU with COVID and the wife is at home. And this is our nephew's parents-in-law. And they are really suffering, and their kids are really needing prayer. And COVID is hitting hard right now and hitting home right now. So I really want us to lift these up. And Gina?
Yeah, and also I got a text from my brother. You guys know Al and Belle. Mm-hmm. Al's mom's in the hospital with COVID. She's been on a ventilator for 2 weeks, I think, and they're getting ready to unplug it. So they said there's really nothing else they can do, so just keep them in your prayers. So
yeah.
Her name's Fran.
Fran? Okay.
Her name's Jean Bopes. Son-in-law's mom, Jean, she passed away.
So here's another one that passed away, and so we just really need to lift this to the Lord. And so I'm going to go ahead and lean out in prayer for all of these. But what I want you to know is Jesus is bigger than COVID.
Amen.
And he is not surprised by these requests today. He knows. His heart is already pounding.
Yep.
Deeply for our hurt, for our people, and for what it's doing. And so just know when we come before him to pray that he hears us. One other prayer request, and I'm going to forget some of these, I know, but Phyllis's grandson was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, colon, I believe. And this is a son whose father just passed away last year of cancer. So here's this precious wife and mother that has lost her husband and now is battling for her son. And so we need to pray for Charles. We need to pray for Bonnie. We need to lift them up. This is Phyllis's daughter and grandson. And so, Father, we just come to you with all these needs. God, you know about every single one. Your heart is already turned and beating hard for the pain we feel for our loved ones. But, God, you are in control. You are bigger than anything. You're bigger than COVID. You're bigger than cancer. You're bigger even than discouragement or depression or any other thing that we can ever suffer from. So God, we lay these needs at your feet. We lay Jesse at your feet. We lay Charles at your feet. We lay Fran's family and Fran at your feet, God. We pray for hope for the mother that is passed away. God, we just lift all of these to you, God, because you care for them. Father, I pray for Matt and Contessa's mom and dad. God, he's in the hospital. She's at home. They're battling separately, but they both are battling the same thing. God, your heart is turned for these people, and you love them, and you care for them. So, Father, help our hearts to reach out in prayer to you, asking, God, that you would meet every single need, God, that you, Lord, would be found glorious in every single testimony that comes out of these needs, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, because we don't have to worry. We don't mourn like others mourn. We don't grieve like others grieve, but our hearts still are broken for our friends and our family. So, Father, we lay them to you, asking you to touch in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Gay. Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, our hearts go out to all those people. One last thing I wanted to mention. We don't have a slide for it yet. We'll try to make a slide for next week. But Breakthrough Church, for those of you guys who are familiar with Brian Jennings Church, they've been doing these all-city worship nights. And they're doing one again in October. And I just wanted to put a plug in for it because I know our family's going to try to at least go to one of the nights because they do two nights in a row. And what's that? No, it's two. The dates are October 8th and 9th. And again, we'll have a slide for it later. It's all on Facebook as well if you want to check it out. And I say all that to say this, that our hearts are to see the city of Yakima touched, whether that's through our church or somebody else's church.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't have to just be, oh, is it a one life thing? That's not, we're not interested in just doing that. We want to do stuff, absolutely, but if somebody else is already doing something, hey, let's go link arms with them and let's go worship with churches around our valley. Amen. And so if you guys have time, it's a Friday and a Saturday night, and if you guys want to go worship, then yeah, let's do it. So we're going to talk about, we've been going through a series right now, one of the first series we've done in a while, right, Pastor? And yes. And so we're going to be talking about one life. We're going to be talking about the heart behind the words one life in our church's name. If you're not aware, our church used to be called Church on the Move, and it took me a while to get that out of my head and not say.
I still refer to us as Church on the Move half the time.
I remember back in the day, people would be, what church do you go to? Church on the Move. Church on the Moon? No, Church on the Move. You're a church in a bus? No, it's a building. And you'd have to explain, it's like, I don't know why they called it that, but it was the name, and yeah. Right. And so I would just make it spiritual and be like, because the Spirit of God moves, and I don't know what I was saying. But what I love about One Life Family Worship is that there is we're big on names in our family. So each one of our kids, you know, we've named. Yes, we looked through baby books and all that stuff, but it wasn't just like, oh, I like the sound of that. It was always what does this mean? Right. Is this name in the Bible? Or even if not, you know, Leona Marie is definitely not in the Bible, by the way. We know that there's destiny behind names. Yes. Right. And so what I love about One Life Family Worship is that it actually speaks to the identity of what our church is. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And so the first two words, one life, is simply put, we're looking to see the city of Yakima touched one life at a time.
Amen.
Really simple. What's our mission? To see our city touched one life at a time. And the great thing about that is each and every one of us, not just the team that, you know, plans the Sundays, but each and every one of you, each person that calls this place home, mm-hmm. has a part in that you each get to be a part of touching one life at a time.
Amen.
Amen. You have anything you want to add to that? So why don't we start by reading some scripture. This is in Mark 2. And some of us know this story. It is a very popular story. And did you want to read it, my love?
Yeah.
So Mark 2, and this is in the New King James Version, and it says this. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you. Okay. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to this paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So why did we pick this verse, Nance?
You're the one that picked the idea of the man being dropped to the roof. I just chose this scripture.
Okay. So you're not going to tell us why. You're right. So the highlight here is that there's many stories we could have talked about. Jesus was about the one. Did Jesus speak to crowds of many, of thousands? Yes, he did. But the more, I believe that the power that we see Jesus move in happened more when he was with the one. Mm-hmm. Not to say power didn't move when he was with the multitudes. Absolutely, we have the loaves and the fishes and all that stuff, and many people were healed, right? But when we get to hear the stories of when he encounters the one, when he encounters the one man that's brought through the roof, when he encounters the woman at the well, when he encounters the woman with the issue of blood, like these are all the woman caught in adultery, right? These are all instances of one.
Right, but I mean, things were going on. There were multitudes around him, but he was, even though he was in the process of touching these people, praying or speaking to these people, he stopped. And that time, especially like Pharisees and them, when they're speaking, that's it. Like, you don't come interrupting. And if you have an issue, people will shove you out. Like, you could be jailed for that. But he stopped what he was doing to attend to the one who was in need. And I just think that that's so super significant, because sometimes we can get in our way where we're like, we're about our business, we're doing our things, we're working, what have you, and somebody, the one, is right there. Like at the store, for instance, there might be somebody who needs help, but here we are, we're just trying to get groceries so we can get home so we can make dinner, do these things, and we don't sometimes stop for that one that we see. They're pulling toward, you know, you feel they're highlighted to you or you feel drawn to them, but for some reason you kind of just chalk it up like, oh, but I just can't stop right now. I just got to go. And so for me, I think this particular verse is super significant because not only was he being pursued, but that he was willing to stop what he was doing. He was in the middle of telling a story. He was in the middle of preaching this message. And, I mean, this obnoxious thing is happening where they're literally tearing up a roof to get this guy lowered down so that he could be healed. They would stop at nothing. And despite that, like, he wasn't like, oh, you know what, guys? This is ridiculous. Like, this isn't even my roof. Like, what are you doing? He didn't rebuke them. He welcomed them. And then he proceeded to allow for healing to happen. And I think that's just super amazing.
I think it's great because this story, and again, amongst a bunch of other stories, it gives us a clear picture that Jesus is not afraid to be inconvenienced. He's not afraid to be inconvenienced. There's something I've told Nance for majority of our marriage, and that is this. You are one of few people that have permission to inconvenience me. Meaning, you know, when the phone rings, I'm most likely going to answer it, no matter what I'm doing, right? If I'm busy at the house and you need help with something, like, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing, right? Like, and so this was a very inconvenient moment that happened in Jesus' ministry, right? He's speaking to the crowd. He's giving them life-giving words, right? He probably at the end had an idea of like, hey, people are going to need to receive prayers after this. I'm going to need to get my prayer team out. I'm going to need, you know, we're going to have the band come up at the end and, you know, we're all this stuff, right? Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But in my mind, Jesus is a lot more orderly than maybe he truly is. And you know, he's in this mode of speaking, and then in the middle of him speaking, the most inconvenient thing happened. They could have done anything. They could have pushed themselves through the crowd. They could have started yelling. They literally started tearing the roof above him. There was probably pieces falling on him or around him. And I'm the type of person, or if I'm talking, or if I'm telling a story, especially if I'm telling a story right now, mind you, this, I've had to grow in this because I have four kids and little kids too now, that if I'm in the story, like, I want to finish the story. Like, I want to get to the end of the story. If the phone's ringing or something, it's like, no, wait, I'm telling a story. Hold on. Like,
I'm talking. That's what I said. I'm talking.
And so, so Jesus, though, however, is not afraid of being inconvenienced for the one. And like Nancy said, we can get busy with life, you know, and that's okay. Like we all have things we have to do, right? We got to go to the grocery store and get, you know, food for our family. We got to pump gas, you know, we got to go to work. We got to take our kids to school, like all the things. But my encouragement and my hope, church, is that we would recognize that Jesus is giving us opportunities every day to stop long enough for the one. Mm-hmm. So are we stopping long enough for the one? Right? I had this last Friday, or two Fridays ago now, I went to O'Reilly's. And this might come as a surprise to you guys, but I'm not a huge car buff. Okay? I don't know anything about cars. I feel accomplished when I put the windshield wipers on, right? And so anyways, just giving you, painting a good picture for you. So I went to O'Reilly's, getting a light for one of our vehicles, a headlight. Got the right light. I thought I got the right light. Get all the way home and realize it's not the right light. So I have to go all the way back, right? And it just further showed me, like, Eric, like, you don't know anything about, you know things about something, but this is not your strong suit. So I get the right light. I like make sure this is the light for, this is the type of car I have. This is the right light, right? And he's like, yeah, okay. So I go out, so I say, I'm just going to do it here. Just by chance, I don't have the right light again. I'm already here. So I open my hood, and I always feel super manly when I'm doing this, even though I'm just changing a light, because they don't know what I'm doing. I could be changing a cylinder or something, a hose. They don't know, but I'm just changing a light, right?
So and in all fairness, they don't make it easy on you anymore. Like, our vehicle is not your typical, like, you lift the hood and you can just put things together, change out a hose or a spark plug. Like, they literally will put a whole cap over the top. They have to have a special tool to get those little things off just so you can get in there and put a light in. So the fact that you did it,
I appreciate
it.
I appreciate that.
I'm very
impressed. Thank you.
You're amazing.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And I'm your man, and I'm going to take care of you.
Yes, you do.
Okay? They could color coordinate that thing, and I wouldn't know. They could give you a book and say, put the red one in the red one, and I'd be like, okay.
Is this red or fuchsia?
So, again, I'm good at some things. This is not one of my strong suits. So I'm putting the light in, okay? It is the right light I'm getting, but I can't get it into the spot, right? So I'm, like, struggling to get it in to where it needs to go. And then this gentleman pulls up to me in his truck, and he's getting out, and he tells me that he asked if I need help. So I'm like, try not to, like, overly be like, yes, please help me. And maybe like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, if you want to check it out, cool. Like, you know, spark plugs and stuff, and just start saying words, lug nut, you know. And so he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm a traveling mechanic, so this is what I do. I was like, okay, great. So he gets in there, and he gets it in. Of course he does. But while he's doing it, I had this moment, and I was like, here's a guy, a stranger in front of me. Maybe I should stop and just ask him if he needs prayer, right? And I know that not every personality is this, like, our first, like, inclination. Like, even for me, like, I'm an introvert. So, like, I'm not interested in going out and talking to strangers. It's just not my, again, not a strong suit of mine. Okay, I'll do it. But in that moment, I realized, oh, here's a moment where I just ask him if he needs prayer. So I ask him if he needs prayer, and we talk. And you guys, nothing, like, supernatural happened. The heavens didn't open. Doves didn't fly out. Like, nothing magical happened, right? But I drove away from that moment and realized, how many moments have I passed up because I was so busy with life? How many lives have I passed up because I was just so focused on me? That exchange could have been as simple as, put the light in, awesome, thank you, shake his hand, okay, I'm on my way. Like, it could have been that. But because I took a moment to just stop long enough to say, okay, there's somebody in front of me from my city, the city that I pray for, right? What does revival look like? It looks like those one moments, like believers actually taking those one moments and doing something with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Revival can be the multitude praising and worshiping in a big, you know, arena. That's great. I believe though, that more than that, if those same people that are worshiping in a big arena can go out to Safeway and pray for somebody that they bump into just because they're like, oh, I feel like Holy Spirit is telling me to do something here. And it doesn't have to be like a weird, like, crazy thing. If it turns into that, awesome. But it just looks like stopping long enough. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so again, the model that Jesus shows us is that he wasn't in a rush to get anywhere. He wasn't in a rush. He was willing to stop long enough to say, hey, I know we have a place to go. I know that person just told us that we need to get there because so-and-so's dying or so-and-so died. But the one right here, right? The woman that with the issue of blood, he was on his way to pray for somebody else that I think already died. Mm-hmm. I believe the story goes. So it's like he has places to go, but when we stop long enough and we allow ourselves to see the one in front of us, I think that's revival. Amen. That is as simple as that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anything to add?
I think that's really good. No. I was actually, we were talking about this last night and kind of trying to get some points, you know, like practical applications and things. But I kind of got my mind blown because, like with John 14:12, it talks about how we're meant to do greater things than he did, right? Like, and all we have to do is ask. But I had only had the one part of like that we'll do the things that he does in greater. And so let me get there actually. Yeah, John 14:12. I'll just, but anyway, so leading up to it, because I was thinking, oh, well, we're meant to do the things that, Jesus did to be able to do the greater things that than he did. Meaning like, oh, if we just pray and we, you know, fast or seek that intimate time with God, because Jesus did all those things. He made sure that like when he was overwhelmed or felt like he was, he would listen to his body, listen to his spirit, and he went and he took time for himself. But he also walked with people and allowed himself to be sharpened and things like that. And I was like, oh, these are good. But then when I went and read this, it says, 4:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I was thinking, Jesus did everything. He did all the hard stuff. I don't have to do anything except trust that he can do it, including encountering the ones. Like, it doesn't have to be this awkward, weird thing. I don't have to be filled up and holy and da da da. Like, he's people who don't even serve him are able to perform miracles because of the atonement, because Jesus chose to do. So for me, I'm like, well, he totally popped my bubble and in some ways, but then it was like mind blowing to me. Like, wow. All I have to do is just be present in the moment and trust that he's able and that he's willing and that he wants to. It's not about whether or not it's his will, because it is his will. That's why he got up on the cross. So for me, I'm like, oh, so if I just come to these places and I'm present with him and myself, and I allowed myself to be fully who I am in him, Jesus in me commands the room. Those people are going to be attracted to you. They're going to want to know what's different about you. Like, and then all I have to do is open my mouth and express his glory. You know what I mean? Like, just be honest. Like, isn't that crazy? To me, anyway, I was blown away at that.
Yeah, there's a phrase that we hold near and dear to our heart, and it's that Jesus doesn't call the qualified.
He qualifies
the called.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys aren't aware, all of us are called. So it's not about, oh, I could only be used if I have read the Bible front to back, or I can only be used if I went to church every single day this month, or I, you know, there's all these qualifications that we put on ourselves that Jesus yeah. doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is there practices that we as Christians need to obtain in our lives? Absolutely.
Sure.
I'm not saying, you know, don't read your word and don't go to church.
That's not what I said.
But I do think that where the church has the pendulum has swung so far a lot of years is that unless you're doing these things, don't you dare try to pray for that person. I just don't know if that's a good model.
Right.
Because all of us have a mess, and all of us are messed up in one way or another, mm-hmm. right? Or all of us have a story, a background, where what we came from, you know, or what we've been through, right? And so to say, like, no, I can't do these things. I don't. When Jesus says, "Do all these things, do greater things than I," well, you don't know my story, so that doesn't include me.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that, he's not talking about me because he's not talking about the ones who have a jacked up past, or he's not talking about the ones that have been divorced, or he's not talking about the ones who have had an abortion, or who have, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like whatever your disqualification is. It's like, no, Jesus is talking about all of us.
Yeah. That's why he ascended, so that Holy Spirit could come and we could operate out of that regardless. Like, it's such and it's a gift. It's not something that we get to earn. It just is. We just get to partner with that and receive it fully. And I think that to me is, there's so much grace in that. And there's so much like here I am trying to like build these things and sure, they're great things to build discipline. They're great exercises to do in our life. But ultimately just knowing like you're qualified just as you are. Just you being you, especially you teenagers. Adam, talking to you too. I love you guys. I'm just messing with you. I just want you guys to know, like, you are not disqualified because you didn't read your devotion today, or you didn't sing a song of worship, or maybe you listened to Tupac instead of.
Terry Job.
There you go. I don't know why a name didn't come to my head. But just being you, God made you on purpose and with intention. And he made you for such a time as this. And so just going out and being willing to be open and saying hello and stopping for the one like that. That does, when we say that, it seems so intimidating. But really it is. It's just start with a compliment and see where it goes. You know, it doesn't have to be this hard spiritual thing. It can turn into that just because God is so good and he's so faithful. And even just us opening our mouths, like Moses wasn't the most eloquent with speech either. He had to have help in that. But God is so good and he equips us, right?
Amen.
I just like that. I don't know.
It's good. Yeah. And he's faithful. Like Nancy said, he's so faithful to meet you and to meet the one. I have a friend who grew up in a Christian home, and he probably would say, you know, he was a believer from a young age. But as he got older, got mad at God. You know, his parents were missionaries, so he saw a lot of his parents got hurt a lot by the church, especially. So he's like, forget that. I'm an adult now. I'm not going to serve the church. So he goes off to college, lives his life, and after college, he actually gets a job in South Korea to teach English, not serving the Lord. Just whatever, living his life. He's all the way in South Korea, and he's alone, doesn't know the language, doesn't know the culture, is eating kimchi for breakfast. I don't even know what kimchi is. It doesn't sound...
Fermented vegetable.
So, yeah, doesn't sound like a good time then. So he's alone, and he just feels so lost, and he just decides to start praying. And he looks out his window, and he sees another guy that I don't think he had met yet at this point, sitting down, and that he was on a bench reading a book, and he feels like he's supposed to go sit by him. So he goes down there, sits by him, kind of awkwardly, doesn't say anything, and it turns out the guy's reading the Bible. Also turns out that this guy himself is an American, okay? And they begin talking, and this gentleman just made himself available. He didn't say anything super crazy. He didn't give him any words of wisdom. Like, he just made himself a listening ear, listened to him. And through a series of events, my friend then ended up getting invited to a church there and gave his life back to Jesus, started pursuing. Like, he went into ministry. Like, so I say all that to say, Jesus will be faithful always, mm-hmm. to bring the one if we're willing. My friend had to go all the way to to South Korea to meet an American who would then encourage him and invite him to church. So are we available wherever we are?
That's good.
Are we available at any time? Right? Are we available to be inconvenienced in that moment of like, no, I'm busy. No, I have my life to live, right? Obviously, there's boundaries and all that stuff that we can go into, but that's for another time. But are we willing to allow God to bring people in our world for the sake of their salvation, for the sake of them getting encountered by God? Are we willing to be inconvenienced a little bit in our lives?
And with that also, not being discouraged if something supernatural doesn't come out of that moment right away. Like, for all we know, we could be point A to B, and they don't even meet Z for a couple years.
Yeah, that's good.
I think Myla has something to you.
It's just a seed. You know, you might just be planting
a seed. Absolutely.
That's right. And so, and you might be from E to F. You might be that just to push them that much further, just to get them that little bit of hope to keep hanging on. You know what I mean? And it might not mean that they're going to have that come to Jesus moment. Like, our friend didn't come to Jesus right at that moment. But now that he hindsight, foresight, and looks back on it, it trailed back to that one moment when one person just gave him a few minutes of their time. That spark, because he was feeling really hopeless and he was feeling homesick and he really just was doubting all of his decisions he'd made up to that point. And this person who just simply opened up a few minutes of kindness wound up steering him into the direction and recalibrating his thoughts.
And so altering, not only altering his life, but essentially our lives as well. Because through this friend, we had opportunities that came up down the road as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Good. It's interesting. Yeah. You know?
So like Nancy's saying, like we can't downplay our moments that we have with people, because even if this man that I prayed for a couple Fridays ago, I prayed for him. I invited him to church. Said, hey, you know, I'll go to One Life down on Titan, meet at 10:30. And he didn't come. And it'd be really easy for me then to be like, oh, that was a failed, what a waste of time, you know? It's still a win because I made myself available. I took a risk. And again, my moment could be that moment, that A to B moment, right? Did he have a prayer request? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had prayer for his family and all that.
Oh, okay.
As well.
I'm sorry, you never actually said that part, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, What else do you have?
No, that's good. Just getting out of that someone else will take care of it attitude. Yeah, I think it's sometimes we get into, when we're in our daily grind, it's like anything else, like when you're in a work environment and you're like starting up a business or you're a teacher and you only have so much time, you're tutoring other people's kids and everybody's there and you ask that people help. And so, but you don't delegate and give position to these people. All of a sudden it seems like you're still stuck doing everything because nobody was delegated and everybody thinks, oh, so-and-so will get it. Oh, so-and-so will get it. So if we treat the ones or these opportunities like, well, I can't do it now, but somebody will get it. I mean, I know if Jesus isn't, you know, bound to me, like it's not just up to me. I don't think we malicely think that by any means, but it's just that, like, that carefree attitude, like, I'll deal with it later or whatever, you know, like then that can be kind of a little bit of a dangerous thinking. So if we could just stay away from that, I think it would be super helpful. And just actually taking responsibility and allowing ourselves to be inconvenienced. It's just backing up what we've said.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the last thing we'll say here is that, in order for you to reach the one, you have to first recognize that you are the one.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that is that you yourself, you're loved by God. So if you don't know, if you don't carry this identity that I am a son, I am a daughter, it's really hard to give that away then. It's really hard then to see other people through the lens of they're a son and daughter if you yourself don't see yourself as a son and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have kingdom lens on for those around you, for you know, everybody in the world. I know this is not easy, especially right now. Everything's so divided. But if we for a second can stop again, can pause, can put our views aside. We can put our what we think we should do. If we can just for a second do that and actually put on the lens of Christ and say, God, but how do you see them? God, how do you see my president? God, how do you see my governor? Mm-hmm. God, how do you see my neighbor? Right?
Yeah.
Before we left for church today, I was sitting out on my back porch and we have this huge tree. I don't know what kind of tree it is. It's just big.
It's an oak tree.
And the branches are so overgrown and it's so huge that it when these leaves fall really soon, they're going to fall in our yard, but they're going to fall in our backyard, our neighbor's yard behind us, and they're going to fall in our neighbor's yard on the side of us. And that's going to suck for them. But I looked at this tree and I said, I want to be like that tree. I want my life to affect the neighbor behind me and the neighbor beside me.
Okay.
I want the things that fall off of my life, I want to be so overflowing with Jesus that when Jesus overflows in my life, it gets on the person behind me and it gets on the person beside me and all around me. I want to be like that tree. So yeah, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So recognizing that we are the one,
mm-hmm.
that there was back in 2004, 2005, I was one that needed to receive Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And there were people that didn't want Nancy to pursue me. There were people in the church that didn't want Nancy to pursue me. And thank God there were others in the church that were okay with it.
And
praying for me, mm-hmm. yeah. And believed in me, mm-hmm. and were willing to give me a shot. Mike mm-hmm. and Gay being two of our biggest advocates.
And my dad.
And there's a lot of people. We can go down the list. And so, but my point being is that if I was just left out to be, you know, oh, that's the guy over there, that's the sinner dude, and we don't, let's just keep our little safe Christian bubble over here, and hopefully he'll find Jesus somehow. But instead, being brought in and saying, hey, you are one of the ones,
mm-hmm.
which allowed me to find Jesus.
Right. Yeah. But I think just, you know, this is where those disciplines come in as far as like spending time with Jesus, because you have to know the one in order to affect the one. So if like Jesus was willing to spend time with his father, so he knew what his father was doing, he heard what his father was saying, he was able to do those things because he paid attention. And it doesn't, I mean, reading your word might be one way, worshiping might be one way, but just even sitting in silence and getting into that place with him where you're comfortable just to allow him to speak instead of speaking, and getting to know what it is that he says and how he speaks, and that so that when you are out and about doing these things, you feel that tugging that much more, and you're able to respond with the grace necessary because you are overflowing with him because you spent time with him. And I think that's the best thing. But all that to say, like, all we have to do is trust him and know that he said that he's willing and he wants to. So even if we don't see whatever the outcome is that we want to see right away, trusting that he still is faithful and he still wants to. So, yeah.
That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Why don't we worship? Let's have the team come up. And, as we worship this last song, I just want you to begin to focus on Jesus and focus on who are the ones that he's putting in front of you. Maybe even as we were speaking, you thought of you know, a family member or a friend or somebody you've come across. And I just want us to begin to, my desire, my encouragement is that we would commit to being about the one. We would commit to saying, I am here for the one that Jesus has put in front of me. So, Lord, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that you, Lord, at one point we were all just one person That we're all just one person that didn't know who we were or whose we were. And that today, Lord, you're calling us to a greater measure, Lord, to see the eyes, Lord, to see through the eyes of heaven, to see those around me, to be more aware of those around me, to be more aware of the person at the grocery store or at our kids' school or whatever, Lord, and not get so busy with life, Lord, but actually be able to stop long enough to see the one in front of us. Thank you, Lord.
So I just want to say this because I think it's a key, again, to our name. We understand that Jesus had a life. He had a life that was given to live here on earth. The Spirit of God came, the life of God came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. And that one life was given up, freely given up. Nobody took it from him. That one life was given up so that we could lift up a one life. We could take a life and we could live that one life now as in Christ, not in our own ways, not in our own path, but now we live that one life in Christ. And what we do with that one life is we take it and we give that same life to another one. That we've been given one life so that we can give someone else that life, that one life. Because all of us have an opportunity to give our life away. It's just, will we choose to do that? And knowing that God has done all the work, so we partner with him. We now say, Lord, you have called me, as they said. That means I'm now going to be equipped for this calling. That I don't have to sit there and go through 10 years of college, 4 years of seminary, whatever you want to call it, even a nightly class at the church so that I'm qualified to lay hands on somebody or talk to somebody. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. That same Spirit brings life to your mortal body, gives you wisdom, gives you knowledge, gives you everything that you need to be fully ready to be that one life to someone else.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's worship you guys.
Oh, Hello.
Yeah. Hey.
So we want to do something real quick before we head out. Matt and Myla, if you guys can come up front. They are venturing off to a new season of life, which includes not being in Yakima anymore. Yes. So do you want to tell everybody where you're going?
So Matt and I are moving back home to Michigan. So we've just spent the last couple months there weighing our options, and we decided that that's where we feel led. So we will not be with you guys anymore in person, but we will definitely be with you in spirit.
Amen.
And we'll keep in contact and give you updates, of course. And if the Lord brings us back here, then he brings us back here. But right now, he's bringing us to Michigan.
I love that. Well, we just wanted to, if you would let us, just extend hands and come and pray over you and just bless your trip and the new season that you guys are entering into.
Yeah, so we're going to pray, and we're going to lay hands. If you want to, you can.
If you need to go to lunch.
If not, you guys are dismissed, and we put some music on, and we'll pray for this couple as we send them out. And we love you guys.
Bye.